Nick, before you came in today, you were in a black jumper, is that right? And it had the Guernsey covered up. It did, okay. I'm reminded this week about how we're all, I guess, incomplete without each other, and how we're all broken, how we're all infallible, how we've all got our own little issues, and that sometimes someone will come along and complete you and complete the issue that you're trying to work with. I'm just shout out to Nick. It'll become clear as we go through today's message, who I wouldn't say wrote today's sermon, but helped me with a fair bit of it on a late Friday night in a basketball stadium. Lord, thank you for friends. Thank you for family. Thank you that people come into our lives that are to help us. It's a difficult world out there at the moment. It's COVID, it's vaccinations, it's restrictions. It's all the things anyone ever wants to talk about. And life's complicated. People are going through hard times. I pray that this message will bless someone here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Speaking of basketball stadiums, that's where the sermon was written. And it's probably getting really clear that that's where the sermon was written as we go through today. But my boys have had a pretty busy fortnight. They have been in what they call state trials, or trialing out for the state under 18 team. They have spent 3 hours a day, every day of the weekend, running around a basketball stadium with the best basketballers in the state. Hard, hard work. And it had me thinking, I've been coaching now for about 28 years, and had me thinking about what makes the best athlete. So it's not, in my experience, it's not who can shoot the best, it's not who can dribble, it's not who can run, it's not who can jump, it's not the tallest, the biggest, and all the rest of it. It's one thing that determines whether someone goes from good to great. And that one thing, Sarah, is that. Anyone know what that is? Kids up north? Yeah. Findon. That's the Findon Skid Kids. Yep. That's what makes a great athlete. And it's not the Findon Skid Kids, if you're wondering. If you haven't seen it, by the way, Google them. Yeah, it's spectacular. There's a bunch of kids in this tiny little track out at Findon. They do some crazy things like riding through fire. One day it went wrong, by the way. You can Google that too. But what makes an athlete great, not good, what makes a person great, not good, is how they handle adversity. What happens when you get to go through the fire? And you can tell people who have been through the fire. You can tell people who haven't, because life's easy. And you go to correct them, and they can't handle it. You go to teach them, they can't handle it. They've never been told no. You can tell people that have been through the fire. If you can go through the fire, life gets better. Life gets greater. Life gets actually, funnily enough, easier. I'll put a fairly broad brushstroke out here. I guess I'm just going to say that in my experience, that the very, very best, the absolute best in the world, you'll hear their stories and you'll hear how often they've been raised by a single mum. Often they've been raised on the streets. They've barely had a penny to put food on the table. They've had to avoid drugs and crime. They've lost someone in a tragic circumstance or an accident. They've been wronged. They've been cut from teams. Basically, things don't go their way. And that's what makes people the best. On the next slide, and this is where Nick comes in, I'm going to share a little story about the guy on the left, not the bloke on the right. I don't know how he ended up. What a great picture. A guy on the left is a guy called Chris Martin, who plays for the Jets, which is why I'm wearing this shirt today. As Nick tells me, Anne-Marie went to school with this bloke in Pittsburgh. So there's a tie to our church, to that guy on the left there. Chris Martin was just a normal, average kid. But I'm going to let him tell the story, so I'll just read out what he's written here. I come from one of the most violent neighbourhoods there is, especially at that time in the US. By the time I was 20, I literally had 30 to 35 friends or family members that had been murdered. I'm talking brutal murders. I lived in somewhat of a project, a low-income housing environment. I had an extremely abusive household. My father was strung out on drugs and was clinically bipolar. It did not create a good household. I'd literally watch him beat my mother like she was a man. And as a 4- and 5-year-old, it's pretty hard to see. I mean, it occurred on an every other day basis. So I'll fast forward from there. Chris's story goes, he becomes a teenager, and then at the age of 15, it all goes wrong. He's getting into drugs and crime. and I'll pick up his story. That's when I was 15. A drug deal went wrong and a guy put a gun to my head and said, bleep, you're dead. And he pulled the trigger. Click, 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 click. 7 times. How would you be? No bullet came out. It's interesting with some of the news that's happened this week that some of you might have heard about Alec Baldwin. And then this guy pulls the gun away and, not pointing it at me, pulls the trigger and the bullet comes out. Chris Martin decided that day there must be something to this Jesus dude. That's how he calls him. He calls him this Jesus dude. He connected with the church. He turned his life around. That guy there on the left is now an NFL Hall of Famer, one of the greatest running backs there's ever been in the game. He's a committed Christian, does amazing things in his community. And Nick, thank you for telling me that story, because I didn't know about him. He went through the fire. Life's not always easy. It's going to get difficult. He went through the fire. And if I asked you today, have you been through the fire? Yeah? Have you been through the fire? I'm sure someone here is going through the fire now. And I won't ask for a show of hands, but Lord, I just want to pray if there's someone here who's going through the fire, not, you know, a little thing on the side or anything, a serious fire in life that is so difficult that they come through the other side. And that footprints poster that I remember so well, that maybe they don't have to walk through the fire, maybe you carry them. In Jesus' name, amen. On the next slide, we're told in life, I don't know about you, but I get told at work, they say, minimize the bad times, maximize the good times. Okay? Less pain, more pleasure. Yeah? None of us really want to have pain. But if you've always got good times, that's what you'll get on the left. You won't get on that on the right. Country music fan, anybody here today? No? The Oak Ridge Boys, thank you. If you heard of the Oak Ridge Boys. They have a song where they say, takes a little rain to make love grow. Where the sun always shines, there's a desert below. So if you're only going to have sunny good times all the time, you're going to get that on the left. You're going to have a little bit of rain, you're going to get the stuff on the right. And if you ask any farmer, or if you ask anyone with an interest in gardening, which has been me for the last few weeks, getting into the gardening again at home, you need a little rain. That's when you grow. Do you want to be better? Yeah. Have a little rain. That's what you get on the right. And by the way, that lawn on the right needs a mow, Jonty, if you could get the lawnmower out this afternoon. You can't always be good. So, Jonty, I'm going to pick on you at the back. You can't always make the team. You've trialled out and slugged your guts out for the last few weeks. You may not make it. You might get some rain. Heaven forbid the worst possible thing could happen. Your brother makes it. And you don't. Think about that. He might get that on the left. You might get that on the right. And it's funny. I've been talking to some kids lately, finishing year 12. And they talk about rain and, you know, in their life and going through the fire and stuff. And this idea that they're told in the world, what do you want to do when you leave school? Do what you love. Just do what you love. Okay, yeah, do what you love. Don't do anything hard. Do what you love. If you, Jonty, you'll be leaving school. Mackenzie's not here, so I can pick on her. She finished school this week. Good on her. If you only do what you love, do you know what you'd end up being? Next slide. That guy. Louis Tomlinson. Now, I have to admit, I just Googled, what would it be if I did what I loved? And that guy came up. I didn't know who he was. And I looked over that way, and then I looked over there, and I'm thinking, who is he? And then I looked in one direction. You're welcome. That's not how you grow. That's not how you grow. You'll have a lot of, what do they call them, feed bucks on the fortnights? Yep. But do you want to get better? You want to grow? You want to improve? You want to get through life? You want to be able to go through the fire, which will come for you if it hasn't come yet? You've got to be willing to sacrifice and get better. I tell a story of, I get new recruits at work. I'm a manager at work, and I get people saying, hey, James, your job looks good. How could I get your job? You don't do a lot of work. Some of that's true. I say, dude, you've got to go through the fire, man. Life's not all sunshine and rainbows. I'm going to put the next picture up. Anyone know where that is? Jonty, you should recognise it. Say again? Not Talon Bend. No, a little further up. Just on the western side of the Hay Plain. That's the Caltex Roadhouse at Balranald, if anyone's been through there. If you've driven from Adelaide to Sydney, you pretty much go through it. That's got a pretty special memory for me when it comes to work and going through the fire and doing things you don't want to do and not doing what you love. If you want to be a manager, you're going to get call outs on the weekend. You're on call 24/7. I'm on call now. I get messages all day, every day that I have to answer. And people say, yeah, but you get to hire people. Yeah, that's a good part of the job. I get to fire them too. I got to look them in the eye and say, you're fired. It's not an easy conversation. It's a horrible thing to do. That particular case was not firing somebody. I did 3 months in Canberra on my own, and probably the most rewarding but hardest job I've ever done, because for those who can remember the Black Saturday bushfires back in 2009, I was the person who the estates contacted to receive government assistance. 173 estates. Some of them, it wasn't a bad conversation, it was pretty okay, they were upset. Others, it was really difficult because there's only so much money to support people, and well, it's my kid, not yours, I want it. It's my family that died, not yours. And arguing about, basically over, if I said over, like scraps on a food table. And people say, yeah, I want your job. The Caltex at Balranald, I was over there for 3 months. For something went wrong with the car, I can't remember the full details. And I took the Tarago over, the family car, and I came back so we could swap the cars over with Pauline. So the one time in 3 months I saw them was in Balranald, because it was halfway. So we thought we'd split the driving. Pauline had 4 kids under 6 in her care. Shout out to Pauline out the back, because she did a great job. I had to drive from Balranald back to Canberra on my own, and I'll never forget, that's probably the one of the hardest things I've ever done in work, to leave my kids behind. And I'm driving away going, why am I doing this? What is the point of this? What is the point of doing something so blooming hard when there's an easy way to do, which is just turn around and drive home with my kids and have an easy life? Sometimes you've got to do the hard stuff. Sometimes you've got to go through the fire. And people say, yeah, you know, jobs are glamorous. That ain't a glamorous job. And when you tell them that story, and say, that's how you become a manager. Who wants to be a manager? And no one puts their hand up. Because we want the easy life. How much does it cost to follow God? You're willing to give up your 3 months? Away from your family? You're willing to miss the team, Jonty, and grow? Following God costs everything. It's going to cost every penny you have. This idea of tithing ain't true. It's every dollar you've got. It's every second of every day you have. It's every thought you have. It's every deed you have. Everything to follow God. Sounds horrible, actually. What a crazy idea. But if you want to talk about a reward at the end of giving everything and what you get, that's the greatest investment you will ever make. Now, it's not why we do it, but what an incredible reward at the end. And you know, the best part about it is that you can have the best life. That's actually the best part. You know, the best life. And it starts now. It doesn't start when you get to heaven. It starts now. Who's got the best life? Who's got the life that we all want? How do we get there? That's what people want to know. You want to say, who's got that best life? If you can't hear anything I say today, if you don't remember anything, don't remember the Caltex at Balranald, remember this on this next slide. They've got it wrong. Now, I had this slide up last time I preached, and I've borrowed it again because I couldn't be bothered for looking for another picture. Their definition of the best life is wrong. Joachim Phoenix. I remembered his name. The bloke third from the top, I didn't know who he was. The best life you can live is with God by your side and with God with you every step of the way. So when the fire comes, and it will, God will carry you. God's with you. God's to lean on. And Alec Baldwin again, I can't imagine what that bloke's going through this week. They say tough times breed tough people, yeah? And go through the fire. Jesus talks about going through the fire. So if we pull the next slide up, we'll make that a little bit smaller. And he talks about it in Matthew 7, 24, 25. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew. It beat against the house, but it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the fire came. I inserted that bit. And the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. You're going to get that fire. Now, I don't want to pick on these guys because I don't know them. They might be good people. But what do you reckon they do when the fire comes? They're on the sand. And the thing for you is you might have friends whose houses are built on the sand. If you build your house on the rock that is Jesus and the words that Jesus tells us and the things that he challenges us to do, and the same storm that hits them hits you, what will happen to your house? It'll stand. And their house is going to fall over. Their life's going to fall apart. And they're going to look to you and they're going to go, how are you getting through that? And the answer's simple. Build your house on the rock. That mob. Secretly, I have to confess something. I wouldn't mind their life. I wouldn't mind it. Imagine having that much money. I've got to say, you know, not big guy chase fame, but sometimes be pretty cool. They're not happy. I want to put us in this room today and compare us to them. Rates of depression and suicide in their mob far outweigh us, if you want to use that for a measure. Rates of divorce are higher in their mob than in our mob. And yet somehow we think that that's the life to have and that's the place you want to be. And we wrestle with this idea of, yeah, I wouldn't mind what they've got. You don't want what they've got. You've got to get to this point where you don't want it, you don't need it, you don't desire it. Why? Because you've already got it. You've already got what they want. You've got peace and a surety that when the fire comes, you'll get through it. On the next slide. When I've had to go through a fire, and I've been through a few in my life, and my kids don't know this story. There was a time I stared at the walls and wondered why. What am I doing? I don't know if it's worth it. And had a few of those sorts of thoughts when something happened. It's all about motivation. So I had to ask myself, why do I want to get through it? And the kids were actually a massive point of it. But if you're struggling to lose weight, so I'll pick on the weight thing. We turn around, we say, oh, I'm going to lose weight to get healthy. Won't work. Try getting invited to being a wedding party and see if you can lose weight. That's good motivation. Yep. You get motivated, you'll lose weight. People say, I can't swim. Oh yeah? Try being on a boat when it sinks. Bet you can swim then. Pauline's not here. Pauline, I'd ask her, would you walk through a pit of snakes? Now, they're not killer snakes, but snakes. Would you walk through a pit of snakes? She'd say, no, wouldn't go anywhere near it. What about if your kid was on the other side in pain? Would you walk through those snakes? Bet you would. I wouldn't walk through a pit of spiders, I've got to admit, regardless of the reason. Sorry, Jonty, it wouldn't matter what we were doing on the other side. But it's about that motivation. So, Jonty, I want you to train for 6 hours on a weekend in the heat and do it every weekend. And you're not making the team. Are you motivated for it? You're motivated for it for the very chance that you might make that team. It's all about your motivation. By the way, great work. You did a really good job on the weekend. Why should you do what Jesus asks us to do? To be humble, to help people, to care for people, to give. Why should you do it? What's your motivation? Now, don't do this. Don't get your calculators out. Imagine if all the money you'd given to the church you had. Anyone here a bit tight with money? Put my hand up. All the money you've given to the church over the years. Imagine if you had every single one of it, a bit of it in your pocket. Why should you tithe? Why should you be kind to your neighbour? Nick, why should you give up 2 hours of your family's time every Saturday? And I mean every Saturday. Feed people you don't even know. I don't know about you, it wears me out sometimes. And I know most people say, oh, Nick does it because he's a good person, because it helps the community. It's the old, oh, he's a good guy, and, you know, well, God would want him to do it. That's not a reason. The reason you should live that way, the reason you should live to a point where you give to other people and you love and love and love and you give and give and give, is because it's the best, it's the most incredible, most amazing life you can live that our friends on the previous slide don't have. So if God puts a challenge in front of you and a fire in front of you, to borrow Chris Martin's terms, the running back, run to that fire. Don't hide from that fire. Run to that fire. It's not work, it's blessing. On the next slide, being blessed. In John 13, 12, 17, right before Jesus was crucified, he washed the disciples' feet. We'll just read that quickly. When he'd finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and he returned to his place. Do you understand what I've done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is who I am. Or what I am, sorry. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. And I'll leave it there for a sec. So, young boys, they're in their teenage years, John T, like yourself, or early 20s, and they've been out walking. Now, they didn't have bitumen roads back then, I'm pretty sure. Didn't have pavers. It's pretty dirty. And their feet would be covered in dirt and probably animal dung. Did they have chewing gum? Well, that's, if they did have chewing gum, there'd be chewing gum there too. All those yucky things. Could you imagine how dirty your feet would get? And Jesus is washing that. And he says, no servant greater than the master. And he says, by the way, you should do it too. But he didn't leave it there. And it's another one of those cases there where you think, oh, cool story. There's more to it. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. We all want the blessings. We all want the good times for when the hard times come to get us through. We all want that best life. Jesus told you how to do it. He said, wash their feet. Care. Love. That's your motivation. That's where it's at. On the next slide. In Matthew 5, 3 to 11. So this is the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus gives you the clue about what it means to be blessed. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Oh, really? Blessed are those who mourn. Well, that don't sound blessed. Blessed are the meek. Well, aren't we supposed to seek a bit of fame and love? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Don't we want to... Isn't it fun to seek revenge sometimes? Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, and those who are insulted, who have lies told about them because of me. Now, I reckon if Jesus had a 2021 version, he'd add these bits on there. Next one. Blessed are those who've lost their jobs. Blessed are those who live on the streets. Blessed are those who can barely put food on the table. Blessed are those who suffer with illness. Blessed are those whose relationships are falling apart. Blessed are those who have been falsely accused, those who are being sued, those who are being bullied, those who keep getting knocked down time after time, those who can't take a trick. I wanted to write up there, blessed are those whose life completely sucks. That's what Jesus is saying. And what he's saying there is, if you want the blessings, you've got to go through the fire. And God will be with you. And he's told us how to do it. It's to love, 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 love. Are the musicians playing? Not right now? Oh, very, very good. Not right now. God says to us that your life will be blessed if you're that. I've got one. Blessed are those who leave their kids behind to drive from Balranald back to Canberra for 3 months to be away from their family at such a critical time of their kids' lives, who put others before them. That's what I found. Those 3 months away from my kids were some of the most blessed 3 months, and so much came of that. But it's hard work. It's hard work. So you can have heaven now. Try it. Do it. Okay? Don't choose bad life for good life later. And a lot of us think, oh, you know, but if I do that, that's a bad life. And I'll get my good life to come. and they say, you choose that bad life, and when I die, I'll get the good life. That's not true. You can have the good life now. You can have the good life now that continues after. You can have God with you now. That's the best life, and that life continues after you die. That's the life I want. Turn your hearts, turn your thoughts, turn your wallet, turn your time, turn everything into what Jesus said for your neighbors. You'll be happy, you'll be satisfied, you'll be forgiving, loving, helping, giving. You'll answer the phone every time someone rings, like Nick does. You'll say yes when you ask for help every time, like Nick does too. Amen. Lord, I want to pray for those who are going through the fire right now. It's not easy. While we know rain will bring the lush, lush lawn, and it will help us to grow. It doesn't make it any easier at all. Give those people strength. Bless them. Carry them. Your word says if anyone knocks, you'll answer. We're knocking, and we're knocking for them right now. Answer us. Bless them. Bless the poor in spirit. Bless those who mourn. Bless all those people named on the screen right now. Show us the blessings that are there ready for us to receive if we would just give up our everything. If we would take up our cross and follow you. Give us heaven now so that our cups overflow with blessing. Thank you that we can meet today. Thank you that COVID's almost over. And thank you for the powerful example and words of your son. All God's people said.